You're listening to the Converge Podcast Network and The Conversation with Adam Weber, lead pastor of Embrace Church and author of Love Has a Name.
Everybody, it's Adam. This is The Conversation, and believe it or not, this is episode 100. 100. I cannot believe it has been 100 episodes. In light of that, I simply want to say thank you. Thank you to all of you listeners, whether this is your first time or you've been with me for a long time. I am humbled and blown away that you would spend any time with me. This last week, I was encouraged by so many of you, emails and direct messages on Facebook and Instagram, text messages. One person said, you're going through a hard time right now, and this episode encouraged you. Another person said, this episode challenged me. I had one person say, your podcast is my go-to podcast. Whenever I want to chill out, I put it on in the background. One of the coolest honors. I'm totally okay being your go-to podcast to chill out to. So I want to thank you, listeners. I also want to thank all of my guests that I've had over the last couple of years. Just blown away that I've had a chance to ask and hear different people's stories. People who have huge platforms and people who have no platforms that they'd be willing to share with myself and with all of the listeners. So I'm grateful for that. There's actually some really cool things right now in the works with the podcast. I had a super exciting meeting this morning that looks like it's going to help get the conversation out to a whole bunch more people every single week. I can't share details about that right now, but I am over the moon excited about what that looks like. So I'm grateful for all of that. We are in the first week of February, if you're listening to this in real time, which means in South Dakota, we're counting down the days till March. March is when we begin to turn the corner with warmer weather, kind of slightly weather. I don't want to wish any days away, but I'm excited that it's February, which means that March is in fact coming. It's also the lead up this week to Super Bowl Sunday. I'm not sure who you're cheering for, the Bucks or the Chiefs. Myself, I am in the GOATs corner, and I am cheering for the Buccaneers. What Tom Brady has done this last year with the Bucks is nothing short of a miracle. I think the Chiefs are going to win, but I'm cheering for the Bucks, whether you like sports or not. My son Wilson likes sports. No one else in my family cares about it, but we all like snacks and eating and food. I hope you're able to celebrate regardless of whether or not you like sports, so enjoy that. But in today's conversation, I sat down with someone that I've heard about for years, author, speaker, Angie Smith. I've heard about her forever. Many of you women have maybe gone through a Bible study with her, so I knew about her from afar. Angie Smith is awesome, okay? She's now one of my favorite people. We got done, and I thought to myself, I want to be her friend, and I feel like this might be a friendship from here on out. We just had a great conversation. Angie shares her powerful stories, highs and lows. We talked about her brand new book, Woven, which is a book that really gets people into reading the Bible. If you're scared by the Bible or you're overwhelmed when you think about opening up the Bible, this kind of just helps you to jump in and understand what the Bible is all about. Get it for your friend. Get it for a friend of yours who doesn't know Jesus or maybe is new to the Bible. There's going to be a link in the show notes to that. We also talked about emotional health and how that impacts our relationship with Jesus and how it impacts how we read and understand the Bible. Truly, again, I loved this conversation. As always, sit back, relax, and enjoy it. Angie, super excited to connect with you already, even since being on. Just genuinely have appreciated you. I just want to welcome you to the podcast today.
Thank you.
Yeah. We've talked everything from old cars, old houses, old everything. And I'm pretty sure we can't be friends because it would not lead to good things. But I just want to start with hearing your story. And many of the people have maybe done a study of yours or read a book of yours. And I've heard so much about you, whether it's speaking, what blah, blah, blah. But I'd just love to hear kind of your story, even like hometown, what your folks did, that kind of stuff. If you just want to ready, set, go on that.
All right. Let's think. I grew up in Cincinnati for a little bit. It's not a fun fact. It's actually a terrible fact, but is that a good intro? Is that a good start?
No, this is perfect.
You already feel like you're really connected to my story. I was born in Cincinnati and then we moved to Connecticut. And then we moved to Japan and we lived there for 4 years. So I know, didn't expect that coming, did you?
How did that happen?
I know. Everyone's like, missionary kid, army brat. I'm like, no. My dad passed away about 2 years ago. And so it's always something where I'm really proud of him still. So my dad, again, let's get into all the fun facts. So my dad was one of the vice presidents of marketing for Procter & Gamble. So like nighttime sniffling, sneezing, like that was his team, like all these. So he was this awesome. So they moved him to Nippon Vicks. Vicks is, you know, part of it. So it was in Japan. So we lived in Kobe and he worked for Nippon Vicks.
Crazy. So,
yeah, I know.
So how long there? Keep going.
Yeah, no, it was second to sixth grade. And then we moved back to Cincinnati where I went to high school, all that. You know, you always do your history by places. Isn't that funny?
Yes.
That's how I map it out. Then I went to University of Dayton, studied psychology. I went to Buff State, finished up college, moved to Vanderbilt University here to go to grad school, which is what brought me to Nashville. And yeah, grad school, got a degree in developmental psychology. Then quickly after got married, had lots of babies. And I didn't come to the Lord until I was in grad school. So it's kind of
interesting.
Yeah. I mean, it was like a weird, I hope this translates, but like I'm on a full scholarship at Vanderbilt. I felt like I was pretty smart. And that was something that made me feel safe. You know, like I like the academic side. I like to pin things down.
Yep.
And so when I became a Christian, I was like, I don't understand what any of this is. I can't connect anything. I just felt like I was so out of it that I literally went to a Lifeway store, sat on the ground in the kids section and pulled out like children's Bibles and tried to understand like, okay, if I go, here's Genesis, here's this. And then I'd like graduate to now I'm in words and I'm going, you know, like, and yeah. I just sort of built up this thing of like, oh, I'm starting to understand. This is the Old Testament. Okay, that's who Noah is. All right, that's who, because it's just so overwhelming. And so really that's what led to all of this. And along the way, my ministry kind of started. I mentioned this when we were talking, what would have been our fourth daughter. We found out about halfway through the pregnancy that she wouldn't survive once she was born. So we carried her as long as we could. And during that time, I kind of started blogging, honestly, just because I was getting a lot of questions and it was hard for me to just kind of keep talking about it. And I thought, well, I'll just put this somewhere. And so Audrey, she passed away the day she was born, but that's sort of what started my ministry. But I think that what it moved into was always this heart of, I love the idea of making things that seem complicated, simple. And so when I'm studying it, you know, I'm like, someone comes into the church and they're a new believer. They're like, what? It's like tissue. Like, how do I connect any of this? It's so overwhelming. So that's really been my passion throughout my ministry. Wow. So I wrote a Bible study called Matchless. And that was, sorry, that was the recent one. It's kind of a combination. My first one was Seamless. And it's a full-on Bible study. Well, when I became a Christian, I was invited to a Bible study group. Didn't know what that was. I didn't bring a Bible because that wasn't explained. So I didn't read the fine print on that. I wouldn't even go into Lifeway. I sat in the parking lot in my Jeep and I listened to the Beastie Boys because I looked at the windows and I was like, I'll never go in there. I'm looking at all these like happy people. I'm like, I'm not one of them. I say that because Lifeway has been my publisher for 11 years. So it's slightly ironic. But I went and they were so kind to me. I'm not sure that you've done it, but we did a study called Breaking Free by Beth Moore, which is like the deep end of the pool. Like we jumped in and I felt so insecure and they were so kind to me and so generous with their grace that I didn't understand where anything was. And, I really had this safe place to land and ask questions. And I did bring my Bible the second session, the only one I had, Precious Moments, Catholic edition, straight up showed up with my precious moments, Bible. But yeah, and I think that just really led to this passion of where was that gap, you know, between hearing about the gospel and then that insecurity, really want to understand it. So Seamless does that, but, and it does the Bible in chronological order, which I think is really important and interesting. But then we started thinking, like, I don't know that everyone would pick up a Bible study, maybe like me, right? So we took the basis of Seamless and made it into the book Woven, and then added a whole bunch. But it's just sort of something that's safer maybe to give to someone who is a little intimidated. And so that's my heart for it. And that's my story, but it kind of comes from that same heart of really wanting people to understand that the Bible is not just for scholars and people who've been to seminary, and you wrote it for us. And once you can get a hold of the structure, it's so much less intimidating, and it just makes a huge difference. So that's kind of where I am.
Yeah, that's incredible. Growing up, kind of just a couple of knickknack questions for you. So growing up, not a Christian home, like, did you do the church thing?
No.
That's a question. And then at Vanderbilt, like, what are you thinking you're doing career-wise at this point? Like, Sure. Those are just a couple of questions for you.
Yeah, totally. I love that. I was not raised in a Christian home. I had a, you know, pretty normal, great life. I mean, there was nothing that would have led me away from him. He just wasn't a part of our story. And so it took me a while to get to a point. Again, I have this sort of scientific brain. So did my dad. And it just didn't make sense to me. So when I would try to figure it out a little bit in high school or whenever, I couldn't land somewhere where I believed it the way that I wanted to. So I'd say there's slight exploratory moments, but it wasn't a part of our lives.
Yep. And how did that look specifically? How did that first happen? Like, as far as like you really began to, like, was there a moment before even going to Lifeway that time? And also the question about what you thought you were going to do career wise at that point.
Yes. That's a good one. I would say, so it's kind of an interesting story. That's harder to tell now because of recent events. But when I was in graduate school, God has to drop bricks on my head because he knows that I have to know that there was no other way for this to happen. And that's just how he talks to me, is like statistics. Like, hey, Ange, you literally can't, there's no other explanation. But my dad was diagnosed with cancer when I was in graduate school. To make a complicated story short, my mom had a lot of mental illness and was not really able to do the things that we would have loved for her to do. And that included keeping up with the house. And my dad, he was given 3 months to live. So he brought me home from college, showed me the books, did all that. Here's how you balance the bill, you know, just the whole thing. And I said, if God, if you're real, you'll heal my dad. And God is my witness, on Christmas Eve, they called and said, we can't find the cancer anywhere in your body. We have no idea why. And again, it was like, okay, I promised you I'd find out about you. My dad was raised Catholic. I'm rural Italian. My maiden name was Bacciato in Italian. But I mean, I come from like a good Italian, chubby family, Catholic, you know, everything you picture. And so I actually went to a Catholic church, and for a year I went through RCIA, which is how you become, you know, how you become Catholic as an adult. And after that, I just got to a point where I could tell that some of the beliefs were different. And so I sort of started looking into non-denominational, you know, I eventually did more on the Protestant side, but the Catholicism was really the basis of and the heart of so much that formed where I was. And it was in response to God bringing me through that. I would say that was probably the main thing, was just, and I remember a few times in high school, I'd visit a church with like a friend's family. But it was really just always something that was sort of out there in the periphery that wasn't really, it didn't affect my life at all.
I grew up regularly attending church. My extended family is all Catholic. I'm Lutheran. We had Bibles all over the place in our house. I struggled with all of it. It was my parents, I think, have always had a relationship with Christ, but it just kind of felt more of a kind of 1 hour a week on Sunday, kind of check in, check out. And so a very different story, but I can remember when I first began to pick up the Bible, and it, so much of it went over my head and yeah. that end of things. And yet I was curious. Thankfully, I had a few friends that I felt like I could ask really honest, foolish questions to, like, what? So this gospel thing, what the heck? Like, there's four of them? Like, why is there four of them? Like, you know, just to somebody to kind of help me out. So it kind of went through, again, very different phase, like, approach to things, but really similar. And so I'm going to shift gears completely.
I'm glad you had someone, though. Can I just say, I'm glad you were brave to ask, and I'm glad you had someone who's kind enough to answer, because that's really intimidating. You go
it
and,
is.
I mean, I went into my first Bible study, and she would say Isaiah, whatever. And it looked to me like everyone opened the Bible right away to write, you know, and I'm like, I'll never learn this. You got to start somewhere. And so to be brave enough to ask those basic questions, that's huge. I mean,
yes.
I'm really glad you had someone who was probably honored to and was able to break it down for you.
I look back and I'm so grateful for that group. And also it was an informal group. I was just going through it on my own, but I just kind of asked questions. And then there were so many times that I still tell people to this, if you get to something you don't understand, I give you permission just to jump over for right now. Like, just keep reading, like, just get the overall heart of God, and don't get tripped up on one, like, I don't understand this, and I really don't want to understand this. And Angie, I know that's been something even that it's kind of cool that I know that about you is, because I don't feel like I know a ton. But I feel like I know, one of the things that I know is you're someone who helps make the word much more approachable. And I honestly think whether you're a pastor or an author, I actually think it says so much more about you. It's a lot more challenging to make something difficult simple rather than something simple difficult. Yeah.
It is a different process, and I enjoy it so much. Which I think answers your second question a little bit.
Yeah.
I always love psychology. That's always been, because again, it's like that part of me that like wants to figure out how people work and how to connect to them and how to just be invested in different stages of development. It's so funny. I always say, like, I kind of wish I could just live like 1,000 lives. Like, I want to be a forensic psychologist. I want to be a child psychologist. I want to know what it's like to work. I want to work in a library. I want like all these things. And so, but really the heart of that was I was going to be a developmental psychologist, and I was in a PhD program, but I left with my master's because it started getting so much research and it was so many more years.
Yep.
And so I didn't think it would be worth it. But ultimately, my goal really was to be studying things. And again, with the end goal of like breaking it down to, if we can get to this thing, if we're looking at childhood and we're saying, I'm seeing these patterns and that this indicates this, and how can we step into that? And it's very similar to what I do now. It's just a different topic. You know, I mean, it's sort of that like, how, and you know, even talking to people and saying like, tell me about your childhood. Who did you have to be in your family to be loved? What was it? Because I was going to tell you who you are with Christ. And if you don't understand the basis of that, I mean, I have conversations with people. I'm not a rocket scientist. Other people are very smart. And so we learn work, but I was sitting with someone and she was telling me a couple of stories. And I finally looked at her and I was like, you're terrified of competing with other women because you grew up in a home. And she started crying. So understanding that of, I didn't just make that up because I'm so brilliant. That's just what it is. I mean, but a lot of people don't know that. So, you know, going back to all of those things, it just plays such a role in how you relate to Christ. And, you know, I mean, so that's the powerhouse center of what I'm passionate about is, and that's what my library is full of. So I do think I use it a lot, just with in a different way.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's fascinating. So I like a couple of years ago went through kind of my hardest season of life. And during that kind of for the first time really began to see that this is totally off where I was headed, by the way.
Oh, I love it.
But I kind of for the first time read through Emotionally Healthy Spirituality.
I'm not sure
if you've heard that book.
Can I just tell you?
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
It's not on my shelf because I gave it to my daughter last night to read. in my, I swear to you, I'm going to get a video. In my last podcast that I just hung up with, she asked me what book I would recommend. And that was the book I said. That is insane. I said, and if you
think that,
Anatomy of the Soul is really good. And such is really good. I mean, like, yeah. This is my entire, you just named like my shelf over here. That is so funny. Yes.
It's seriously like for the first time ever connects like who we are with our discipleship and our emotion. It's like we can be the greatest students of God and yet still be so, it's like, how can I know this? And yet it impacts nothing of who I am.
Totally.
And it just helped like put a framework.
I said that. I'm going to have to text her and say, I mean, I can't. And it's only because my daughter came in here. She's thinking about psychology. And I'm literally, I mean, my bookshelves, I don't know if you can even see that.
Yeah.
Full of, they're, I mean, most of them are, you know, psych and Christian, but I walked right over to it and I grabbed it and I was like, start with this. So it was on my mind. And when she said that today, I was like, that is, and I'll, sometimes when I'm speaking, I'll mention it and you'll see all these heads like nod because
it,
I would recommend that to anyone. I mean, was that like a transformative book for you?
I had a friend, he's like one of my right-hand people. And again, rock bottom point, like 2.5 years ago. And he said, I can't require you to do anything, but I'm requiring you. And I'm like, okay. He's like, read this book. And I'm like, emotionally healthy spirituality? Is it even a Christian book? And he's like, yes, I knew you were going to say that. I almost ripped the cover off of it. So he's like, just read a few chapters. And I'm like, I don't really want to. And he's like, just read a few chapters. So I brought it home that night and I read till like 1-2 in the morning. Yep. I couldn't put it down.
Totally.
Just being, helping like process heartache, pain, walls, experiences in life. And then, so get that book. And then I was just looking for it. My wife actually just texted me yesterday and took it off my shelf.
I know. Now I'm like, what else is back there? What else did you read that I would love?
Yes. There's a day by day devotional that goes with it. It's called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality Day by Day.
I just saw that online when I was looking for something else on Amazon. Yeah.
It's not a word that I use in my vocabulary, just like in my vein of whatever that is, but it's an anointed,
really
devotional. I mean, I found myself clinging, like each day I would go through it again through that dark season. I would read it 3 or 4 times a day and just like held on to it. Cause it just was something so helpful. But that's what I saw that in your past, like as far as education wise, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's pretty bizarre. Yeah.
I'm still laughing about that out of all the endless amounts of books. So yeah, people who are listening are like clicking over to Amazon right now. I hope go get it. It was definitely, but that's really the idea of, you know, there's this really beautiful place where science and spirituality intersect, and you have to really understand, you know, I could go on forever about that. Just really understanding this is not just some like kooky thing. It really is. Oh, you didn't have this night. And then all of a sudden there's this light bulb of like, oh wait, like for me, I had to be the funny one. I had to be like performing. I had to be on and kind of like cover for my mom. And so I started noticing at events, I would get really resentful of people who wanted me to sign things. And it's like, I was holding them hostage for this thing that had nothing to do with them, but it took me going, oh wait, you resent this because you could never say anything about it, but that's who you are. And so you have to be on, you have to be just something even that simple where it's like, I get it. You know, this is why. And the more you dig into that and the more you process it, your life looks different and your faith looks different and you're recognizing it in moments where you have a certain emotion or you're, you know, there's like a trigger or whatever it is. It's just, I think God wants us to understand where we came from and what life looked like and where he was in that and how it affects us now. So that I think I love that I have that kind of background and that I'm so interested in it. And then to be able to sort of you know, see how that meets is, that's a real sweet spot for me. I enjoy that.
That's so cool. I just finished going through 1 and 2 Samuel and hadn't been through it since kind of pre that season of life. And we actually are changing the series that we're preaching here at the church because it was so strong. But I felt like it was so much of that. Like, it's crazy when you begin to kind of emotionally understand yourself, just how scripture even comes alive. It's like seeing Saul and his stuff and then David, you're just like, oh my gosh, Saul, you needed emotionally healthy spirituality. And so like, but then just like, and like David in so many senses, imperfections and all, was so mature in a lot of ways to be able to process stuff.
Like David and Solomon, like you're able to see these patterns of sin that were repeated, you know, that came from, what did you see? What did you experience? What was your, and that's another thing, is like recognizing where sin patterns need to be broken and where things have been transferred through generations of people, and recognizing that you can break that chain where you are, but you can't unless you're aware of it. So
yes,
so much wrapped up in that I think is really important and beautiful. And I love that you said that.
I feel like the both of us are just hanging out talking about favorite things, and then we get to have a bunch of people listening with us. I know.
They didn't get to hear the first half hour when we went through old cars.
That's right.
Modeling.
Yeah.
We both really love cars.
You're listening to the Converge Podcast Network. And now, a message from a network supporter.
Share, so Woven, we've talked a little bit about it. Tell us kind of what's your hope with the book as a whole? Share that part.
Yeah. I would say my hope is that maybe people who, like me, are intimidated by even doing Bible study because it feels really interactive and sort of, it feels like it's on a different level. I love the idea of taking the basics of that and then, you know, adding a bunch more, but putting it in book form where you can just hand it to someone who's curious, and you don't need to have a Bible, all the scriptures in there. So it's just sort of like a way to say, my prayer is that people will read this, even if they were intimidated, and be able to start seeing the way the Old Testament is related to the New. Where these people fall in scripture, and just again that sense of like ownership of, I can learn this. And it's, again, there's this scientific aspect of like, this is a historical book, so no matter what you think of Jesus, like, then open it like a book and let him tell the story, you know, I mean. But that's the heart of it is really, and even if you've been a believer for a long time, it's still, you know, I still think it's, you'd benefit a lot from the idea of understanding just that concept of like, the Bible's not chronological, and here's how this is related to this, and this chapter's this, they're just a couple of speeches. Like, okay, you know what it is. That's student, you know, whatever it is. So yeah, my prayer is just that whoever reads it would feel like God is more approachable, and that they would feel more confidence in understanding who he is and what the word says. There's so much power in feeling like you have that ability and not being intimidated.
That's incredible. And what a needed book too. Like, I'm constantly trying to bridge that gap for folks, and yet it's so intimidating. We'll have a link to the book in the notes. Please go get a copy, get one for yourself and also for a friend as well, and pass it on. I found myself in this time, just even in the last year, never been more thankful for the word as a whole. And I say that in the most like non, like, I got it all figured out, perfect Christian sort of way, but in a like, no, I'm like, I'm needy for it. Like, I have to, not a, I'm so disciplined that I like read my Bible. It's just like hearing God's truth consistently. And even for my own soul, like, just whether it's struggling with comparison, whether it's like worrying about peace or the world and everything that's going through, I'm just so thankful for God's truth. I'll let you share.
No, that is a sweet, sweet spot. I mean, I do think, unfortunately, the people that I tend to be drawn to the most and the people who I feel like I love listening to, I'm always drawn to people who are kind of like deeply carved. And I feel like a lot of times that comes from being through trauma or having been broken. Because you need Jesus differently. you know?
Yeah.
It isn't, there's no other option at that point. And I, after, you know, losing my daughter and my dad, my grandmother passed away 2 months after my dad, it was, and I will say there was a fork in the road. Like, either I'm going to believe it or I'm not, because I'm angry.
And yeah.
I don't know why you would do this. And I hear people say, like, you're never allowed to be angry with God. There's no biblical precedent for that, for the record. You know, I mean, I'm just, it is. I'm like, I'm going to get rid of David. So I remember times where I was screaming in my car and I'm like, I don't know if I believe this. And I felt like Jesus is like, yeah, but you're still talking to me. You're still bringing it to me. So let's land there. You can be angry. I don't want you to stay there, but also, and I always laugh about this. I'm like, do you think he doesn't know you're angry? Like, he's all knowing God. Like, even if you don't say it, he knows yes. you're angry. So go through that with him, because then on the other side, you've had this partnership in difficulty and you've made the choice to be with him, and he's the only solution. Then you go back to the word and you're like, this is the only thing I got. This yeah. is all I've got. And it sometimes, unfortunately, it does take being through a season where you had to learn that the hard way, but it also has a really beautiful side. And I'm so grateful that you are on this side.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's so true. I think oftentimes, and maybe put someone listen and has this, it's almost like that friend who the relationship's clearly broken, but every time you see each other, hey, how's it going? I'm so yeah. excited to see you. And it's like, no, let's just cut through the crap here. Really? Yeah. Like, you are upset with me. You're angry with me. And we do that with God. And after a while, we just stop doing like anything with God. Cause it's like, I'm just so sick of being fake in my yep. prayer life. Oh, it's God. I'm praying. This is so worshiping, blah, yep. blah, blah. And yeah. I think when we get to those moments of saying, hey God, I'm actually angry about this.
Yep.
Yeah. I actually feel wronged. Yes. I don't know. It's not right, but this is how I feel. Like, yep. I'm in pain. I feel like you didn't see me. You haven't cared for me. You haven't. Yep. It's almost like God's like, finally,
yeah.
we're going to talk about it. Like,
Okay,
let's get to this. Share it. Exactly. And
we can't be in a place where that doesn't exist in our relationship with him. There has to be. And I think even the book, like, there's just so much about understanding. He wants to be in relationship with us. You're not in relationship if you're being fake about your emotions, or if you don't trust the other person, or you're
yes.
no different with him. And so I mean, another encouragement just to everyone who's listening is to know that there's no shame or guilt in feeling like you doubt, or, I mean, if I speak at an event and I say, how many of you have ever for 1 second, if you've walked with him for a day or 120 years, have never for 1 second doubted? I mean, I don't ask him to raise hands, but I'll tell you, if they did, I would say, I know what to call you. And it's liar. That doesn't exist. I'm sorry. That does. It literally yeah. doesn't exist. We weren't created to never have our humanity
yes.
come out in a way that relates to God. That's why, I mean, Jesus came and he understands all of these things that we're
yeah.
going through. He walked, I mean, his closest people were like, yeah, I doubted. You know, rejected him. So I just think there's a tendency for us to feel like we have to fit into this certain pattern with God that's so regimented and not relational. And there's such beauty in being on the side where you are, where you can see it in your countenance that you believe it differently here. And I love to feel that. And I love to see it in people, and it's possible, even if you are in that dark,
yeah. you know,
get your yeah. heart into yeah. it. And then I don't know. I just don't know what to say other than that you believe yeah. differently on the other side.
Oh, that's so true. And it's almost like that friend that you have had some broken parts in your relationships, and you made it through and you chose each other. You chose the friendship. It's mm-hmm. it's all of a sudden like, man, we've weathered some storms. There's just there's a richness to it. And yep. I think the same is true with God. When we can bring those things and really wrestle with him, we come out stronger on the other side. And I just think about trials in general. You know, just a few years ago, I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. And yet now I'm getting closer and closer to be able to say, like, because right now I can say, it was so much good has come from it. Like, I am such a different person in the best way. Like, so many cool, life-giving things. I was just telling Angie before coming on, I'm just in this sweet season of my life right now. But so I can say that so much good has come from it, but I'm not fully there yet of being able to say I'm thankful it happened.
Right.
But I think I'll get to a place where I'm like, no, like, I'm actually grateful it happened. And when we go, like, in life, we look up to people who have weathered storms.
Absolutely.
People who have only, like, had success. It's like, yeah, even if I like what they do, I don't really like, but those people that have been through stuff, you're like, I'm following her. Him, sign me up. I'll follow him anywhere.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, and I think that when I think about Audrey, looking back, after losing her, I mean, a lot of people will say to me, and I think this is safe too, they're both sides, which is a gift. And again, a lot of people say to me, but look, your ministry came from this. What a great thing. And I say, I'd rather have her back.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so there's that part of me that's like, but I still ache for this thing. I see the beauty that came from it. I don't understand. I don't really understand. And I won't. I mean, I don't know that I'll understand until I'm with him. But for right now, it's just that part of it. It's okay to feel like, I totally understand why that happened now. Oh, looking back, you can see that he did this thing, so this result would happen. And it's a really sweet thing to be able to say. And it's funny, you just said that. I never really had thought about it, but you said, I've not gotten to a place where I'm thankful. But then you said, again, what am I, a psychologist? But then you said, but I think one day I'll be grateful. And I think those are really different. I think saying I'm so grateful because I really trust him, but it's hard for me to say, thank you so much. That I really, you know, that was such a great experience. And it's a really beautiful thing that your mind kind of went to gratitude, even if in your flesh you don't know how to say thank you. That's a powerful difference that it's hard to acknowledge sometimes, that it's okay to not say, I'm so thankful. I just, you know what? That was a great gift. Like that we don't have to, but you're exactly right. That gratitude is, that's why you feel the way you do right now, is because you care over that gratitude. I love that. And it's so encouraging to people to hear that. I love talking to people within on the other side of whatever it is, you know?
No, it's so true. It's like you made it through, and even stronger and even more refined. And I think in those seasons, whether we cause them ourselves or they happen to us, I think just the ways that God, like I look back for myself and there's so many things where I felt like God was saying to me, I didn't cause this, but I'm absolutely going to be you. I'm going to use this.
Yep.
And back to emotional healthy spirituality stuff, it ended up being a wall season of my life that I think I was forced to address some stuff that I would have never addressed otherwise. And it's crazy how you can look back and you're like, oh my gosh, so much good has come from that heartache.
Totally. Angie,
I feel like we could talk forever. Again, the book is called Woven. Go get a copy for yourself. Go get a copy for your friend. Even if you've been following Jesus for years. For me, I feel like sometimes it's the basics, or it's even might feel like, oh, that's just for new Christians. That us people who have been following Jesus for a long time, it's like, no, we need to hear it ourselves as well. And so, Angie, seriously, it has been awesome.
Nice.
So thank you for the time today.
I'm so grateful for it. Also, buy Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. If you've only got enough money to buy one, get that one. Then you can come back to mine later. No, I really do appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to The Conversation with Adam Weber. This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network. You can find more from Adam Weber on Instagram and Twitter, and at adamweber.com.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network.